a terrible feeling when there's no longer an opportunity. The first church I served out in the Thumb area of Michigan, my next door neighbor a half mile away was named Bob McBride. Great guy. He was 70 years old when I started pastoring there, and I was only 21. And he used to look at me every Sunday morning. He had some word of wisdom for me, and I really love older people and their wisdom. The Bible talks about the hoary head. And he used to look at me, and he'd say, son, he'd say, remember this. Don't give anyone any flowers at their funeral if you don't give them some flowers during their life. That's hypocrisy to send flowers at their funeral when you never gave them any bouquets during life. And he didn't mean only literal flowers, you know. Have you ever really praised somebody? Have you ever done something nice for somebody? Then don't have your display right there by the casket with your big ribbon, the biggest one in the funeral home. Don't do that. If you're not willing to do something for them in their life, then don't be a hypocrite and send flowers when they die. While you have opportunity, verse 10, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. You can't do everything for everyone. But anyone you can do something for, do something good for. That's about as broad a verse as you can get. Do good for all men, especially those of the household of faith. That's the true program of love. Don't be discouraged. Keep on doing good. God will ultimately reward. Verses 11 through 17, he talks about the persecution that you receive for love. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand? Maybe because he was partially blind, maybe for emphasis. We do know great scales fell from Paul's eyes. We do know he wanted to emphasize the truths of this letter. We do know he signed off each one of his epistles so that they would know that it was an authentic epistle of Paul. See what large letters I'm writing with my own hand? Reminds me of Habakkuk. Write it large so those who read it can run. Or those who are running can read it. It can be read either way, but either way you get the same point. Emphasize it so that people can see the truth and run with it. Paul said, that's what I'm doing here. Those who desire to make a show in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. If you believe what the world believes, they'll never persecute you. You fit in fine. As soon as you start swimming upstream, it's a different matter. But remember, any dead fish can flow downstream. It takes a live one to swim upstream. The Apostle Paul is saying, you'll never be persecuted if you preach what the world preaches. You preach the grace of God, and you're going to be persecuted. They don't like that grace of God because they want to do something. They want to attain their own salvation. Verse 13, for those who are circumcised do not even keep the law. They don't keep it themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. They want another notch in their spear. They want to say, I got another one. I got another convert to the cause. Counting baptismal records is not God's way of deciding who has attained the spiritual life. Paul said they don't really want you for anything else than the glory that they'll get for adding statistics to their evangelistic surveys. They're not really concerned about you, because if they were concerned, they'd be keeping the law, and they don't even keep it themselves. They want you to keep the law that they aren't even keeping. They just want to boast in your flesh, verse 14. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to boast? Boast in the cross. Boast in the fact that there's an insult to the world, an offense to all men. Boast in the fact that Christ died for our sins, and that's the only way to conquer them. The cross through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. That's the cross that I will boast in. For in neither circumcision or uncircumcision, Jew or Gentile, a new creation, that's all that counts. The final analysis, it really doesn't matter what happens on your body, it's what happens in your soul, the apostle is saying to them. Those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God. You want to be the true Israel? You want to be God's true children? A spiritual son of Abraham, not simply an outward son by the outward sign of circumcision? Then the true Israel walk by this rule, this grace rule. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. What that means exactly is a subject of great speculation, but I think we are safe in saying that Paul could point to all of the stripes, all of the beatings, all of the rocks. You remember when he was in this area at Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. It takes quite a few stones when a whole crowd hits you with large stones. He must have had bruises and scars all over his body. He must have looked worse than a National League goalie before they made mask. Somebody told me not too long ago, Gordie Howe, how many stitches he had in his face in his lifetime. Hundreds of stitches, probably 1,000 or more, from pucks hitting him in different places. I used to play that crazy game. I'm lucky to have escaped with the face that I do have, let alone a better one, in case you were hoping for that. But Paul had scars all over his body, you know, bruises and scars and whiplashings. And I'm sure Paul could say, you want to boast? You want to boast about marks you make on somebody's body, like circumcision? Let me show you some marks that were made on me for love. How would you like to look at these marks first, you know? And I've got some more on this body. Would you like to look at the marks on my back? I'll take my shirt off for you. You want to boast? I'll boast too. But I'll boast only in one thing. I'll boast in the cross of Christ, by which the world is crucified to me. I'm dead to the world, and the world's dead to me. And I have the brand marks of Jesus on me. I've got Jesus kind of branded right into my skin. There's no doubt. You look at me and you see somebody that has suffered for love. Now that takes love. I must admit, as I think of somebody, persecution, I've didn't hurt anybody, never put a mark on my body. I've never been slugged for Jesus. Nobody's ever hit me with a rock for Jesus. A few insults, you know, here and there, a little innuendo and exclusion and that type of thing, but no real physical persecution. Could you be able to stand like some of the early Christian martyrs did at the stake while they're burning you and say, deny the Lord? As Polycarp say something like, my Lord, I've served for 70 years and he's never done any wrong for me, and I will not deny him now as the flames are going up. Do you know that a friend of mine who's doing research in the early Anabaptists recently said that they would burn mothers at the stake, and the mothers had their babies in their arms, and the mothers would go to the stake holding their babies, and as soon as the flames got too hot or too close, they would hand their babies over to someone else and die there in love for Christ at the stake. These are the people who died to give us the spiritual freedom that we have. Jesus Christ, as he died to make men holy, let us live to set men free. Let me summarize this chapter in these words. Paul is saying, it's not the circumcision of your flesh that counts, it's the circumcision of your heart. It's not the rite of circumcision, it's the reality of crucifixion. Have you been crucified with Christ? Your flesh has been nailed to the cross, your sins have been forgiven, and you recognize that? It's not the rite of circumcision, it's the reality of crucifixion. It's not what men can do to your body that really counts. Look at my body. It's what God can do to your soul that counts. Because God can do something in your soul that can allow you to stand there in the middle of flames while men are burning your body. Praise God with great glory. Circumcision is nothing, said Paul, but crucifixion is everything. You see, if you're already dead, there's nothing men can do to you any worse than that, is there? What's the worst that could happen to you? Get killed. But if you're already dead, then the worst has already happened. And you're dead with Christ, and your life is hid with God in Christ, Colossians tells us. You can stand and mock death. O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Paul said, it's not those who follow a dead law, it's those who follow a living Christ who make the difference in this world. The greatest exercise of Christian liberty is Christian love. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are and thankful for the love of God that drew salvation's plan, for the grace of God that brought it down to man. We thank you that the grace of God has appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for
that blessed hope
and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might purify unto himself a unique people, zealous of good works. Thank you for your good love. Help us to manifest it in good works as we reach out to others for Jesus' sake. And now, unto him who is able to keep all of us by his unconditional love and to present us absolutely perfectly before the Father with exceeding great joy, to him be glory and majesty, wisdom and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.